and find the mind of the Lord. Nehemiah. Turn with me, if you will, to chapter 4, I believe it is. Yes, chapter 4 is where I want to try to read some. I won't take long because we got this welcoming home party. Or what was it again? It's a housewarming for brother out here. I think they're going to eat out there, ain't they? Huh? All right. And so we're going to celebrate out there just a little bit. Won't take me long tonight. My youth is caught up with me today. It won't take me long to get this over with. Nehemiah chapter 4. It came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we build the wall, he was wroth, took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? What are these feeble Jews? How many feels feeble tonight? Huh? What? How many? Now, how? But here's what excites me. It's not my strength that I'm running in. It's his. And when we're weak, he is strong. I want you to know, Sanballat looked at these Jews and he says, "What? You know the story here. They came down and started to make preparations to build the wall back up around the city. And he looked at them and he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? And he said, will they fortify themselves? That's the question that the enemy, Sanballat, I'm going to call him the devil. He said, what does he think he's doing? Feel the Lord in here. I know y'all don't yet, but what does he think he's doing? Are they going to fortify themselves? Look at this. And then he said, are they going to sacrifice? Will they make sacrifice? What? I guess, Brother Charlie, I guess they was coming out here watching us come into church tonight. What do they think they're going to do? What's these feeble Christians think they're going to do? Are they going to fortify? He probably seen, I don't know, the devil hides around. I think he hit one of these trees out here, if you notice, fell down. I think that was his roost, and he's had to move. I don't know where he's at now, but he's around here somewhere. He watched you come in, dragging in here, wore out, slap dab out, running like a racehorse, feeling like a workhorse, huh? And he said, what's he think he's going to do? What in the world? Does he think he's going to go in there and fortify himself? You think he's going to go in there and pray through? You think that they're going to sacrifice? You reckon they're really going to have church tonight? Do they really think they're going to have? What's these feeble Christians think they're doing? And then he asks the question, will they make an end in a day? Do they think this is going to be just a... I think what that means is I think that Sanballat was underestimating, hey man, their commitment to this job. You mean to tell me, because he could look at that, Brother Tim, and he knew it was going to take longer than a day, hey man, to fortify and sacrifice, get back to where they were in good shape again. And he just didn't think they had it in them. Amen. And then he asked this question. He said, will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Will they? Oh, I like to preach to you tonight. What else in the world is they left to do but preach? Huh? I mean, we're down here at a desperate hour. Hey, man, what else is there but us to preach the gospel and somebody believe it? And he said, he looked around, Brother Mike, and you know what, in essence, what he was saying? He was saying, this is impossible. They can't do this.
You can't have a holiness church in 2004. Do they really? They're feeble. How many know we're feeble? Blindsided, run over top of, and the devil says, it's impossible. Here it is, the walls were torn down, amen, and I guess they burned the gates with fire. They knocked all the stones down and burned them with fire. Now, do they think they're going to have revival in the midst of this ruins here? Y'all going to help me preach a little bit tonight? It won't be long, but I want to preach. That's what I need to do tonight. I need to preach to you. He said, will they revive the stones? Will they revive the stones? Is there a chance? I'm going to tell you something. You lose your intensity in this, and you lose ground faster than you made it up. Huh? I've seen men, Brother Zane, build a whole lifetime of ministry and burn it down in one day. Set it on fire with their actions and their deeds and burn it down. But I'm going to tell you something. Here's the hour that we live in now. There's no need us saying we need it. It's already we've already been burnt out in a lot of areas. The walls have been torn down. It was out of disobedience and out of sin. But here's the question. Amen. At Sanballat, he looked at them and said, it's not possible. What's their thing? What? They're feeble. Number one, they're too weak. They're too feeble. Number two, do they actually think they can fortify against the army without walls and gates? Hey, are they going to actually fortify themselves? I want to ask you tonight, amen, do we have, amen, an option, amen, in this last hour but to fortify? You say, but brother, how in the world are we going to do it? Nehemiah got on a beast and he rode around the city and he surveyed the damage and he said, we don't have a choice. I know it's a lot of work, amen, but we don't have a choice because we're in reproach. Amen. Y'all going to help me preach a little? We're in reproach. Our loved ones are dying. Disease is so wild and it's up whole. Are you going to help me? Amen. And the devil says, what are these feeble Jews think they're doing? Amen. They'll tell you, you can't raise kids to serve the Lord in this hour. You can't have a good holiness church. You can't have the power of God. Amen. Because, amen, of the falling away hour that we live. But brother, I'm here to tell us tonight, amen, that Nehemiah had a revival out of the rubbish. Hallelujah. I wish y'all help me preach a little bit tonight. I know you're weary and tired. If you're tireder than I am, you deserve to lay down and take your snooze. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach to you about 20 minutes tonight on revival from the rubbish. Hallelujah. That's what the devil said we couldn't have, Brother Mike. Amen. He said we can't do it. And I have to be the first to admit that sometimes I look at the circumstance, Brother Tommy, and I said, I don't know, amen, if we can have revival or not. But brother, this is where we're at. This is what we've got to work with. Amen. Come on now. Amen, Sister Melon. The burdens take us to our special place. And the devil loved to say, what do you think you're going to do about it? Amen. What do you think you're going to do? Amen, you little feeble Christian. Amen. But can I tell you, if God will give us a burden, like he gave Nehemiah, if God will give us, amen, a passion and tears like he did Nehemiah, if God will give us a selfless, amen, spirit. Come on now, brother, when we come to the house of God, amen, we may have been burned out. There may be some empty spots in these pews, but brother, we can still have revival, amen, among the ruin, revival among the ashes. That's the only way we can. Come on now, you're not helping me preach. I wish I could preach to you. We need a revival from the rubbish. Hallelujah. Oh, I know the devil ain't going to like it. Praise God. Help me preach a little bit. Amen. I want you to notice, amen, real quickly tonight, in order to have a revival. And it looks impossible. Sister Marilyn, it looks like, Brother Jeremy, when David came back to Ziklag, his houses had burned, and a camp burned. His wives and children carried off. Nothing left. And his men turned on him. Help me preach a little bit. His men turned on him. Amen. And said, it's your fault that we're out here. And they thought about stoning him. Isn't it something how when we get under pressure, amen, we start looking for somebody to blame. Are you listening to me? If it's not the pastor, then it's the deacon. If it's not the deacon, it's the Sunday school teacher. If it's not that, it's your husband. If it's not that, it's your wife. That's the way circumstances will do you. It'll drive you right into that old blame game. Amen. But David took the linen ephod, the prayer, amen, instrument. And he got down and prayed and he asked the Lord. The Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. And he said, Lord, shall we pursue our enemy? And the Lord answered him. Always somebody say amen. Amen. What he was saying was, is there still hope? Is there a chance of recovery? Is there a chance of revival? Amen. And God said, when he asked him if he should pursue, he said, pursue. And when he said, shall I recover? The Lord said, ye shall recover all. Are you going to help me preach a little bit? Amen. Nehemiah got a burden. He got a burden in the king's palace. Amen. He sat down and he wept. And he asked for permission. He inquired of the Lord. Y'all helping me preach? That's what you were doing today, Sister Marilyn. You were inquiring of the Lord. Brother, we got to get our head out of the sand and get our eyes wide open. We'd love to turn our head away, amen, from the destruction of this world. But it ought, Jeremiah said, my eye affected my heart. Are you listening to me? He was saying, what I see is causing me, amen, to have a burden. Brother Jeremiah got a burden. It looked impossible. The devil said it was impossible. Brother, he's told me it was impossible for me to even live my life. Amen. Just to live and keep my sanity. Amen. Let alone the anointing and the burden. But brother, listen. He's been a liar thus far. And I believe he'll be a liar still. You're not helping me preach. Some of you are enduring this. But brother, we need a revival. Oh, I know there's some not interested. But they are only the stones among the ruins. Brother, if somebody will get a burden, it took one man in the palace. But after a while, he had a few more men with him. And they were going through Jerusalem looking it over. And brother, the Bible said he had not told them his heart yet. Y'all getting anything yet? Praise God. Brother, to have revival, we must have a burning passion for revival. To have one like I'm preaching about, Brother Tim. Brother, it gets us out of the ordinary and the ho-hum and gets us into a fire-breathing revival. It'll take Brother Jeremy a passion in young men's lives. Amen, a zeal in young men's lives. Brother Zane, sometimes young preachers, and I used to couldn't preach to young preachers, but I hate to say I'm qualified now. Huh? 47, that's midlife if you live to be 94. Right? Huh? I don't know, maybe over the hill. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you, revival. Are you helping me preach? How many is helping me preach tonight? I'm talking about a revival from the rubbish. Hallelujah. The devil said, can they revive these stones? Amen. From the rubbish? Amen. We got to have a passion for revival. It's got to mean more to us than our banjo and our mandolin and our bass and our fiddle. It's got to mean more to us. Amen. Than our four-wheeler and our games that we play. More than the internet and the television. It's got to be more than the world. More than our hobbies and our habits. It's got to mean more to us than our own personal comfort. Hallelujah. Nehemiah said, I'm going to leave my warm bed. I'm going to leave my good job. And I'm going to go down there and risk my very life. Have revival. Are you listening to me? Brother, revival don't start. Many times a young preacher thinks revival starts with an opportunity in the pulpit. But that's not where revival begins. It begins in your heart. Down on your knees. At an altar of prayer. That's right. died. Oh, come on, help me preach a little bit. Many times we think revival is an evangelist from California, Alabama, or South Virginia. But brother, revival will start, amen, with tears. And it'll start with a burden. And it'll start with an inquiry and an eye-opener and a tear-stained altar. Hallelujah! Then we can have a revival that'll shake Buchanan County.
We gotta have a revival out of the ashes, out of the ruins. It's already burnt up. My God, anybody help me preach? I can't hardly live looking at my loved ones so wasted by the enemy that sat right here. Huh? Listen to the best preaching in the world through the years. And to watch, I'm going to tell you what else choice do we have but to go to those burnout ashes and say, by the grace of God, we've got to have revival in the midst of this ruin, in the midst of this rubble and this rubbish. Amen. Though the devil says you can't do it. Praise God. You look at so much that teenagers have, amen, to pressurize them. Amen. The world has changed, Brother Zane. It's worse and more vicious. His teeth are sharpened. And even while I'm preaching, amen, there's such indifference. But brother, if you're going to have revival, young person, you're going to lose your indifferent attitude. And you're going to get mighty interested in having revival. Instead of coming to church and looking through the pictures, amen, and passing notes. Praise God, and looking for something to entertain you. Amen. You'll be listening to the Word of God, and you'll be going to that altar, and you'll be pushing that service. Hallelujah, because you've got to have it. Brother, we got to have a passion for it. Amen. We got to have a burden for it. Are you listening to me? And then I want you to notice. I feel like preaching tonight, and I'm going to try my best. Amen, Brother Tim. We got to have it. Amen. And here's what happened. He had not yet told him his heart until he took him around, Brother Robert, and he showed him the ruins. Rose up in the middle of the night out of his warm bed and walked through the ruins. I'd like for us to take a walk tonight. Let's go by the pews. Let's see the ruin that the enemy has done. And then let us. He turned to those men, Brother Zane, and he said, see this ruin? And then he told them what God had done. He said, the Lord has laid his hand upon me goodly to rebuild this wall. And it put something in them. And they looked at him and said, let us rise and build. Y'all not getting this, are you?
I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up on it. I could be discouraged. I could even be discouraged when I come here and preach. Amen. And I just feel a lack of interest. Huh? You say you're jumping on us. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm just telling you, we're not near as interested in revival as we ought to be. That's right. We're not. Now we need to get interested. We need to hear a voice of God. And then I want you to notice, Brother Robert, he realized he could not do it by himself. And so he initiated a burden in these leaders that was going through there with him. And the Bible said it was a few men. He got a fire and he was touched of God, and he put that passion in a few more men. And the next thing you know, amen, they're out there in the rubbish. Amen. Some men's job, amen, Brother Tyler, all it was to be a bearer of the burdens, to carry the trash out of the way, and so they could build the wall. Amen. You got to have a burden. You got to have a passion, and you've got to have cooperation. Are you listening to me? I've got to preach to you. Amen. And so they rose up. Oh, I know the devil's going to be mad. I know he's not going to like it. Are you listening to me? I want you to notice real quick here. I want you to notice when the devil found out about it. I want you to notice when he heard. I want to tell you, the devil is alive, children. You listen to me? Listen to this. When the devil first got wind of it, this is what they said. The Bible said, Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite,
heard of it, and it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. It grieved Tobias and Sanballat, the Ammonite. How many knows what an Ammonite? An Ammonite was not an Israelite. An Ammonite was a seed of Ammon, who was the son of Lot by his own daughter. You understand? An incestuous, drunken relationship that produced the Ammonites. It was not seed of the promised child. Are you listening to me? Amen? They had no business in Jerusalem. I said they had no part, no lot, and no business in Jerusalem. You're not listening to me. Brother, that I'm going to tell you, the devil can crow and he can howl. Amen. And he can threaten and mock, and he can tell us what can't be done and how impossible it is. But how many knows that all things are possible to them that believe? You got a loved one? Come on now. Amen. I'm telling you, I do not intend to die on the vine. I don't intend to dry up and blow away. I know the devil would love for me too. I don't intend to. How about you? Anybody else have that? I don't intend, amen, to go to a church that is dried up and split and rebellious and worldly and carnal and blow away. I don't intend to. Do you? How many says no to that? Amen. The devil says you can't, but brother, God said you could. Amen. You can have revival. I wish you'd help me preach a few more minutes. Amen. I want you to notice, the devil said, the Bible said he was grieved. In the next place I read, I underlined this, it said they laughed us to scorn. They were grieved and then they laughed us to scorn and despised us. Well, and then it said, when they heard that the wall was going to go on up, oh, Tobiah, the Ammonite, he said, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. They were already, Brother Zane, half done. They had done got mad. They had done got vexed. They had done got wroth. They had done mocked. They had laughed. And this is where I got this message, this verse right here. While I was praying one morning early, this verse come to me where he said, if a fox go up on the wall. You see, here's the devil's tactics. He wants to tell you what you're doing is of no significance. It's not important. It's not of any value. It's not any power. It's not worth anything. And he mocked and he said, if a fox go on this wall, amen, it'll fall down. Amen. But you see, That didn't hinder Nehemiah none. Praise God. I want to tell you, if you come to church and I'm constantly having to tell you how important that is and how wonderful that is and what a value that is, and I have to keep selling you on that product, sooner or later, you're not going to come back anymore. I wish you'd say amen. You see, you're going to have to realize yourself, amen, that what we're doing is a good work. That's what Nehemiah said. Amen, it's a good work. Are you listening to me? I thought today up there in the school, Nathan flew the coop on me. And so I've been kind of being the teacher this week. And I loved it. I love being in there with them kids. They need a real serious person in there. And so I really enjoyed being in there with them. Ha ha. Huh? But I heard one of parents at the end of the hall today. She came to get her little boy out of the class, and I heard, and somebody else, Sister Debbie, was going down the hall. A visitor had come, and I was just standing in my door. The visitor was going out, and this visitor saw this lady, and her little boy was standing there. Heard this lady say to the visitor, she didn't know I was standing there in the doorway, and she said, he just loves it here. And she said, I love it too. It's the best thing for him there was in the world. Talking about our school up there. Hey, amen. You know, a lot of times the devil will tell you, hey, amen, ain't worth nothing. What you're doing, all your labor, all your effort, hey, amen, trying to have revival. Nobody cares anyway. Nobody gets in. Nobody. But I want to tell you, it's too late to tell me. I've done been here long enough. Are you helping me preach? Brother Tim, I've done been here long enough to see men like you and Brother Ray and Sister April, hey, amen, and all these others, my own children here and your children here.
amen, and putting these girls out there in the workforce, and I go over there at the hospital, amen, and they know me over there because they know my girls over there, and they know you ladies over there, and I want to tell you, you're living a light before them. We are not working in vain. This world needs a wall. This church needs protection. We need to fortify. Amen. I know there's scandal. I know there's slander. I know there's compromise. I know the pulpits across America have compromised and watered down. But that does not mean we cannot have the real thing and revival among the ruin. I know the devil's having his day, but I know greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Oh, hallelujah. What do these feeble Jews think they're doing? Fortifying? That's why I preach to you children about sanctification. Huh? You need once you get saved, and I know me and brother, I preach for brother, I preach for all kinds. Well, out there in the Oklahoma, I mean, tell you, them guys are tight, I'm telling you. And Brother Brewer, those people he fellowshiped with, they were 45 preachers there at that dedication. And me, the preacher. And I was the only one in the building with choker on. Huh? He got tighter than normal. Huh? And I just preached and hucked and bucked and hooped and hollered. Praise God. I mean, they called me. I didn't call them. They called me. And I preached, and brother, I'm telling you, I didn't know who all was what and who and how and who. But, and you know, the next preacher that preached was one of the huckumbuckums. And I'm telling you, he got up and he got preaching tighter than a banjo string, but he did look over at me and he said, I've decided, Brother Webb, I'm going to shout with you if you do have a necktie on. And I said, well, hallelujah, let's get to it, praise God. Huh? Are y'all listening to me preach? Amen. I'm telling you, a lot of folks don't understand about sanctification. I'm all for sanctification. And I'm going to tell you how I believe right now. Amen. I believe you get sanctified when you get born again. Are you listening to me? Come on now. If you're not washed by the blood, you'll never be washed. And I'll tell you a little bit more. That is not the end of sanctification. Are you listening to me? That is only the beginning of sanctification. And I believe you get sanctified when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But that is not the end of sanctification. Are you listening to me? I said that is not the end of it. I'm telling you, the more you learn and the more you pray and the longer you live for God, the better you ought to be. Are you listening to me? Amen. What's the end of it? We need to go on to perfection. And that perfection does not mean that we don't get bald and we don't have a lisp and we don't stumble. It means maturity. Amen. After a while, you grow up like a kid. You grow up into a mature adult Christian. You're no longer tossed with every wind of doctrine. You're no longer eat up with the world. Are you listening to me? You're no longer looking over the fence, but you got your eyes set on heaven. Amen. The world behind you and the cross before you. Amen. But listen, the devil says, will you fortify? Will you preach to these young girls to stay pure and these young boys to be pure minded? I sure will. Amen. How can they do that in a playboy world? I'll tell you how they can do it. By coming to that special place. By coming to that prayer closet. Amen. By getting enough God in them. If they have to get on the internet. Amen. If they have to be on there. Amen. And they put in the wrong letters. Amen. And something comes up. Brother, it'll turn their stomach. Instead of them gawking at it. Amen. They'll pull the cord. One preacher got caught on it. Amen. And he said he got in it and he couldn't get out. Well, I want to tell you something. Brother, I am illiterate when it comes to computer, but I know where to plug them in and where to unplug them. Hallelujah. Amen. And if I get one that's got a naked woman on it, I know how to kick it over and pull the plug. But why would I do that? To keep from going to hell. Now, you mean to tell me these feeble Jews? Yes, we are. Tim Anders, my dear brother, is a feeble man. You know how I know he is? Because he's made out of the same stuff I'm made out of. And I'm feeble. Amen. When he think you stand, take heed lest you fall. You mean we're going to have a church? Amen. Will we revive out of the rubbish? You better believe it. Hallelujah. I wish somebody would say, praise the Lord. Ha! The devil said, listen, the devil said, the Bible said about the devil, had great indignation. They mocked. And then it says, they laughed at him. And then it says, they were very wroth. And then it says, hey man, that, listen, then it says in verse chapter 6, they were cast down. They were wroth, indignant, despisers, mockers, laughers. And then at last, they were cast down in their own eyes. Y'all don't help me preach tonight. I wish I could do better. Maybe I haven't ate enough today or something. Maybe it's just youth. Maybe I just need to get older or something. I don't know what it is. But I'm going to tell you something. These days, I don't feel like there's much left of me. But what there is left of me, I want God to wad me up and just throw me at this world with the hardest thrust He can throw. And let me go down, if I go down, which I ain't going down. I mean, I may die, but I'm going up as soon as I'm out of here. As soon as I'm out of here. But I'm going to tell you something. While I'm here, I'm going to believe we can have revival from the rubbish. Y'all ain't helping me, are you? Somebody say amen. Oh, praise God, brother. We can have somebody else called to preach. Praise God. Get too many preachers now. No. I wouldn't care if everybody in here. I don't believe in women preachers that much. But I mean, even if you ladies want to exhort some, I don't care. If you get anointed good. Huh? You get anointed good and want to testify, have at it. Sister Marilyn, I'd have been lost tonight if you hadn't said something. I wouldn't care if the kids got up. You know, the Bible said perfect praise come out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Did you know that's what the Bible said? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings come perfect praise. I'm telling you, I wouldn't care if we come in here and just come through the door. Sister Amanda, sometimes you run ragged. I watch, honey. I know, you just hang in there. Don't make a move to hear from the pastor. Huh? Come in here tired and wore out in school. I'm telling you, what's that class that y'all love so well? What was that? Anatomy? Ooh. Anatomy? That's about whatever it's about. Well, they just love that. You come in here after a whole day of anatomy and roll in here about half dead. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you, God sees all of that. Hey, man, and what we need is a move of the Spirit. We're feeble. We can raise one little pinky, Sister Jennifer, and say, God, it's me. You see my pinky moving here. Hey, man, I'm in the battle. I'm in the fight. I'm in the race. Hey, man, I think we can still have revival. We can have it in West Virginia. We can have it in Virginia. We can still have it in our loved ones. Hey, man, sister, you bring this precious little baby to church one of these days. You can bring his parents. Hey, man, if we keep on praying. Are you listening to me preach? Hey, man, I'm telling you, Jesus came and died and rose again. We can have a revival out of the ash heap. Hallelujah.
But I'm going to tell you this. I thought today of Legion. Now, the devil had that man. He was possessed. Now I'm going to tell you, precious children, I don't know if you've had many dealings with a possessed person or not, but it happens. It's bad. I'm telling you, it's bad. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand it all, Brother Zane. I don't understand it. But I've been in situations where the power of hell was so strong that it actually pushed people off of their feet down on the ground. Just an invisible presence. And I'm telling you, Satan is an awesome enemy. But he had Legion. He had him so wild and so crazy. And if you fool with sin so long and you open yourself to sin, it'll drive you plumb crazy. And the devil had him. Jesus came on the shore, and I'm about done. Jesus come to the shore, and he seen a man that was burnt out, hollowed out by the enemy. And Jesus cast the devil out of him. And the Bible said that he was clothed and in his right mind. He sat at the feet. Now, I want you to get this. We need a revival. I'm telling you, and I don't mean it. I hope y'all don't take this wrong. But a lot of times in our lives, we play church more than anything else. We just go through the motions. Now, I'm not talking about you if you're not guilty, but sometimes we just go through the motions. And there's no power in that. There ain't no power in just going through the motions. We got to get a hold of it. And Jesus cast the devil out of that man. And I want you to notice real quick. I want you to notice what happened to this burned out man. He was sitting. I don't know when he sat down the last time. He was just agitated.
Going crazy.
He was sitting at Jesus' feet. Brother, that's revival. Clothes. He didn't wear clothes. He's like the rest of this world. He ran half naked all the time. All naked all the time. And he was setting clothes. I've often wondered, I've mentioned this here before in a message. I often wondered where his clothes come from. There he was, dwelling in naked in the tombs and cutting himself. And all of a sudden the Lord cast the devil out of him. Here he's got clothes on. I don't know if the Lord just spoke him into existence. J.C. Penney. Huh? He could have. I mean, if it had been the Lord, it had been something else. I don't know any bigger name than that. What's a bigger name than that? I don't know. But he made him a custom suit. I don't know if he may have done something different, Brother Tim. He could have said, Peter, you got an extra coat on. Give it to him. He could have said, he could have said, John, you don't need that extra garment. Give him that. I don't know how he did it. But he was setting clothes and in his right mind. When the Lord got ready to leave, he said, let me go. Let me go with you. Boy, in that revival, let me go with you. You know what the Lord said? Can't go. Won't you go back home and tell people what things have been done for you? And you know, they got upset at Jesus. They said, they thought he was some kind of spirit or something. They said, leave our coast. The man's hogs, all them hogs run in the creek and drown. His business down the tube. Get him out of here. But the next time Jesus came back around, they received him gladly. And there stood the old boy in the J.C. Penney suit. Huh? He'd done his job, hadn't he? Huh? I'm telling you, that's a revival from the rubbish. If you, Brother Mike, if we'd have went by and seen that guy, we'd have said, ain't no chance for that bird. And as long as the devil was in there, they wasn't. But when the devil got out, there was revival. I'm sorry it took so long. Stan, please. God bless you. There's a revival from the rubbish. It took Nehemiah 52 days, and he had the wall and the gates up. 52 days. Sword, trowel, building, battling, working, laboring. 52 days, job done. They kicked Tobiah out. They got to reading in the Bible, and it said, Ammonites should not come into the congregation. They kicked Tobias out. His little room he had built onto the side of the sanctuary. Out he went. After they had revival, that's what happened. You're gone. They got the priest in out of the field. Come in here, Levite. You're not supposed to be out there. You're supposed to be in here taking care of the church house. Huh? They brought their tithes and gave them to the priest. Got everything back in order. Ezra brought the Bible out, Brother Zane. He got to reading the Bible, and they stood up for hours. Huh? They had revival in the midst of the ruin, and we can too. Let's pray. God bless you. Thank you for listening.